Gospel reading is taken from John chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, and at dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered round him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him, but Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Now go and leave your life of sin." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to you, O Lord. Father God, as we consider your word now, we pray that you would speak into our very hearts, that we might live lives that are pleasing to you in every way. Amen. Well, please do take a seat, and it sounds like we're being marauded by the wind outside. You're riding the clutch again. I wish you'd just offer to help from time to time. Can't you squeeze the toothpaste tube from the bottom? You're driving too fast again. I wonder if you recognise any of this. The way we react to sin in others is often different to the way we react to sin in ourselves. We're often easy on ourselves and hard on others. But the question I want to ask us tonight is, how does Jesus react to sin? The way Jesus reacts to the woman caught in adultery illustrates God's amazing grace, as well as his holiness, and really a struggle that we all face. We don't know if this woman was the wife of a famous politician or someone from the local council estate. It doesn't really matter. Whoever she was, one can only imagine the embarrassment of getting caught and then being exposed by the religious leaders of the day. And while adultery might be commonplace today, in those days it was, well, she'd broken one of the Ten Commandments. And according to the law of Moses, it was punishable by death. But here we find Jesus reacting to this in a way that we would do well to ponder. And it's here we happen upon some of the most beautiful words you'll find in Scripture. Jesus says to her, "Woman, where have your accusers gone? Has no one condemned you?" "Then neither do I condemn ye." Even in Lent, when we often commit ourselves to a period of disciplined self-examination and repentance, these are the very first words we need to hear. Because in Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, there is no divine condemnation. In Christ, there is no divine condemnation. In Christ, there is no possibility of being condemned by God ever. And remembering who Jesus is, let these words of Jesus linger for a moment. "Neither do I condemn you." "Not when you have mended your ways, I'll forgive you. Not when I see signs of you trying, I'll forgive you. But while you are still wallowing in your sins." Because in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. So how does Jesus react to sin? Well, he blesses sinners. He's a blessing to sinners. Acting as the judge, he says to the guilty sinner who comes to him, "I've taken care of it. You are free to go. You're guilty, but you're free to go." As Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Why not let's ponder for a few moments in silence just how precious is the blood of Jesus, which he poured out for sinners, the ultimate expression of God's love. "Neither do I condemn you." Of course, the Pharisees would not thank Jesus for it, for letting this woman off the hook. It undermines God's law. It opens the door to all kinds of immorality. They would prefer to bring the full force of God's Old Testament law with all its sanctions to such a situation. While the more liberal religious leaders would happily have scrapped it altogether. They were probably quite pleased. "I'd like to throw off all moral restraints. Rules are for children. We don't want to be told how to live. We've grown up now. We've moved on." But Jesus takes an altogether different path. A third path entirely. He lets her off, but then says to her, "Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and leave your life of sin." Not go now and try harder. Not go now and do it if it feels right for you. Not go now and do what everyone else is doing, but leave your life of sin. Leave your life of sin. Leave it behind now. Put it to death. Rid yourself of it. As Yahweh says, "Be holy as I am holy." So there's no clever middle way here, no diplomatic compromise. Jesus offers both absolute freedom from the divine punishment and demands a life of absolute holiness. Let me say that again. Jesus offers both absolute freedom from divine punishment and demands a life of absolute holiness. So what will happen when you fail this Lent? When you let God down? When you let others down? Those particularly close to you? When you let yourself down? Remember his words. "Neither do I condemn you." And rejoice. Thank him for the cross. And enjoy that freedom from the burden and tyranny of the law. Enjoy it. And revel in the peace of God that it brings. And then, with your conscience cleansed before God, with your conscience clean, leave your life of sin. And how will we react to the sins of others? By throwing the book at them and condemning them? Or with the grace of Jesus Christ? In a sermon given by the Chancellor of the Diocese of Chester before the Diocesan Synod in November last year, Judge David Turner, QC, quoted Martin Luther King, who said, "The law cannot change the heart, but it can restrain the heartless. It cannot make a man love, but it can keep him from lynching me." The disciplines of Lent are not born out of desperation to win the approval of our Heavenly Father, for in Christ there is no condemnation. We have his fatherly approval already. It's not a time of earnest moral behaviour in the hope of recovering the moral equilibrium after times of wayward behaviour, because in Christ there is no condemnation. We seek to leave that life of sin motivated by gratitude for freeing us from the condemnation of the law. So let me finish with these words from the book of Hebrews. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the King? Father God, we pray that we might truly revel in that freedom from the curse of the law, freedom from condemnation. Thank you that in Christ, as we come to him, there is no condemnation, that your smile is always upon us. May that be the defining feature of our lives as we seek to live lives that are pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.